Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you again for joining April's quarterly All VR call. My name is Keitra Hill. I am the TPM VR Payments Manager, and I will serve as a moderator for today's call. Before we begin, we'll go through the agenda, and then we'll go through some quick logistics. I'd like to advise you that the call is scheduled for 60 minutes, and it is being recorded and transcribed. Now we can go to the next slide. So here we have our agenda for today's call. We will go over the prepayment validation review, and there will be a quick question and answer session after that's presented. Then next, we'll go into the reconciliation policy, also going over the new VR helpline, and then we'll have a final question and answer session, and then our closing. So next, to go through a few logistics for today's call. So we go to slide four, please. First thing to note is that, again, this call is being recorded and transcribed. Post-call items will be on the Your Ticket to Work website in the next few weeks. Participants are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript. Next, during the Q&A session, if you are joining via phone and you wish to ask a question, you can raise your hand utilizing star 5 and you will be unmuted by the facilitator. Then you can press star 6 and unmute yourself. If you're joining on the Microsoft Teams app, click the raise hand icon and you will be unmuted by the facilitator to allow you to unmute your microphone. Next, please ask one question each time you are called upon by the facilitator. Any additional questions or comments that you may have can be sent to vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. Those questions that are answered during the call, whether it's in the chat or live, will be forwarded to the appropriate panelists for comment. Lastly, the closed captioning is available for participants who are joining via Microsoft Teams application or utilizing the separate closed caption link provided in the chat. So to turn on the closed captions in Teams, you want to go to the More option at the top of the MS Teams window, click Language and Speech. Next, select Turn on Live Captions. When using the link option, you want to paste that link into your browser and it will open in a separate window for you to view the closed caption options. So next, I will turn it over to Renee Clark to give us some quick updates about PVRs.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Renee Clark, and I'm the Payments and System Support Branch Chief at SSA. Regarding the prepayment validation reviews, SSA noticed that there are some VRs that were not getting PVRs at all. And then there were some VRs that were not getting PVRs that represented an adequate sample compared to the amount of claims that they submit. So to enhance our program integrity efforts, we are standardizing the way we conduct PVRs on VR claims. And Keitra will review our PVR process for you now. Keitra?
Thank you, Renee. So first, we'll go over the purpose of the prepayment validation review process, PVR. The first point is that it's done to ensure the VR services and costs meet the requirements for the requested payment. For more information, you can refer to the VR provider handbook, and that will be on page 41, where you will find the information about the review process. So next, we're going to go over the PVR required documentation. So one is the PVR notice. Two is the SSA 199 with costs in numerical order. Three, proof of payment for requested services. Four, assigned individual plan for employment, IPE, or any amended IPEs. And then lastly, the case notes. All of these documents must be submitted to complete the PVR requests. One thing to note is that if the PVR documentation, or two things rather, the first is, if the PVR documentation is not in numerical order, we will diary the case requesting the documentation be placed in numerical order and refaxed. Second, if the documentation is illegible on your end, we will not be able to read it on our end. So please make sure the document that you are faxing is legible as possible. So next, proof of payment documentation. So these are some examples of the documentation that can be submitted as proof of payment. You have your copies of all direct costs, including date of service, type of service rendered, cost of service, and then proof of payment. Next, copies of bills, checks, credit cards, and EFT transactions. Next, receipts under the vendor's letterhead with a paid date stamp and signature. And then lastly, authorizations or invoices with warrant or procurement numbers. Again, these are just examples of the types of document that can be sent for proof of payment. All of these documents are not required. We are going over these particular items today because the types of documents that are acceptable have changed over the years. Specifically looking at our last bullet, the authorization documents or invoices that you're submitting must have a warrant or procurement number. So next, here is an example of a PVR notice. You will receive this PVR notice when a claim is selected for PVR. When you submit your documentation for the PVR, please make sure to include this notice along with the other required documentation. Currently, this notice directs you to mail in the PVR documentation. However, the VR handbook directs you to fax the documentation in using the designated fax cover sheet that is generated through the ticket portal. SSA is working on getting the PVR notice updated to instruct you to fax the documentation. Next, here is an example of an SSA 199 form. Specifically, this is the first page and we've highlighted where you'll list or indicate your total direct costs requested. So then next, on the second page of the SSA 199, this is where you will detail those direct costs. So you give a breakdown of the direct costs, again, in numerical order. And then you have, again, that total direct cost requested. So next, here's an example of an individual plan for employment, an IPE. The IPE must include, one, the employment goal and the services. And those should be, you know, that should be the same if the IPE is amended in any way. The services should align with that employment goal. So next we have the signed IPE. So this would be the last page of the IPE. This must be signed by both the beneficiary and the counselor. So next, here's an example of case notes, and that will be any notes that would be relevant to the client's case. So again, this is just an example. There, as you look through these slides, there's some information that has been omitted, of course, for PII purposes. So next is an example of an invoice. So we have invoice number one. This is our first example. This has an authorization. This is rather an authorization for the purchase of services. And this document includes, as we've highlighted, the authorization number as well as the total billed amount. So as now we move to our first example of proof of payment, we see that that complements that invoice. We have the authorization, the total outstanding amount, the payment action, which is shown as final, and then the total payment amount. So SSA will accept this document when it shows the payment at the top, that the outstanding balance is zero, and the payment action is final, because that's showing that it has been completely paid and there's nothing outstanding. So next we have invoice example number two. So this is our second example, which shows the authorization number again, the cost breakdown, and the total outstanding amount. So then we have our example of proof of payment. This includes the matching authorization number, the payment amount, and the required warrant number. So again, the proof of payment would include either a warrant number or a procurement number. And this is an example of a warrant number. On this document, you do see that it's the handwritten numbers in, and these correspond with the direct costs that are listed on the SSA 199. So next, we have our third example of invoice. So this is a purchase authorization example. This includes the purchase authorization number, a procurement number. Also, we have beginning and end dates of services and the total costs. This invoice should be accompanied by a proof of payment that includes the coordinating purchase authorization number with the breakdown of services that are between the same beginning and end dates and equals up to that total cost. So again, this will be considered an invoice and it must be complemented by proof of payment, which would include the purchase authorization number, procurement number, and so forth, because those two have to align with each other. So next, we are now at our first question and answer session, specifically around the information that has been shared about PBR. So, Catherine, I'll start with you. And please, let's go to the next slide so I can instruct you how. So if you're calling over the phone and you want to raise your hand by dialing *5, you'd be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you want to press *6 to unmute yourself. Next, for MS Teams, if you want to enter the question into the chat, or you can raise your hand in Teams and you'll be unmuted at that time. We ask that you please start out by stating your first name, the name of your organization, and then ask your question. Catherine, please go ahead if there are any hands raised.
Sure. I have no hands raised at this time. Let me see. No, ma'am. No hands raised.
Okay. Imani, any questions in the chat?
Hi. Yes, we do have a couple of questions in the chat. The first question that we have is from Sarah. Will we get a copy of that PowerPoint?
Yes, the PowerPoint presentation will be on the Your Ticket to Work website under the events archive page in the next few weeks.
The second question we have is from Colleen. The VR handbook states that information must be submitted within 45 days, but the letterhead states 30. Which is it?
From my understanding, and SSA chime in if I'm wrong, it is 30 days. We may give you an additional amount of days if what you've submitted so far up to that point is not sufficient. But initially, it is 30 days.
Hi, Petra, can I jump in? This is Raquel Donaldson, please. Everyone. It's actually both. Okay. So initially you get 45 days, but then we also allow an additional 30 days. So in actuality, you get 75 whole days to submit the PVR information, believe it or not. And again, as Keitra mentioned earlier, we are working on getting the PVR notice documentation updated. So it states it correctly there and in the handbook as well. But initially, it's 45 days, and then if needed, an additional 30 days.
Thank you, Raquel, for correcting me.
No worries. Thank you.
Much appreciated. Imani, what's the next question in the chat?
We have a question from Arlene. Where do we obtain the SSA 199 form? I've never submitted those.
I know I've looked this document up. I've actually went to the Social Security website, and you can type in the SSA 199 into the search bar, and that will bring up the links to the actual form. SSA, do you have a more direct route that you know of for that form? And that's, again, where they can find the SSA 199.
I'm not aware. Katie, are you aware of anywhere to find? That is probably a better question to be asked to one of the other VRs, since they do this on a regular basis. So if someone else Ah, there's Eric Schmidt.
Thank you, Eric.
Eric has responded and said that if you use the ticket tracker, you can produce one there. So, Arlene, I'm not sure if you use ticket tracker or not, but if you do, that's where you find it. Thank you, Eric.
Yes, thank you, Eric. Thank you, Raquel.
This is Katie. I did want to chime in. Since we moved to the portal several years ago, you know, we no longer accept the paper 189. So, but we can follow up and when we send the notes out following this call with a link for everyone to access a copy of it for PVR purposes. You do not need to submit a paper 199, right, with your original claim. It is only when you're requesting, you're providing information for the requested PVR. And Raquel or anyone else, correct me if I'm wrong there, but that's the only time we're going to want a copy of one that you need to fill out a form.
That's correct.
Because we need to associate that, you know, the itemized, right, the items, like we showed in our example. I don't know if you can go back on the slides, but we do kind of show that we want all the costs numbered and, you know, handwritten, and we want to see the association when you're submitting your cost and tying it back to that cost listed on there. So that's why we need you to send us a copy of the 199 so we can match that all up.
Thank you for that clarification, Katie. Much appreciated.
And if I can find a link to it, I will put it in the chat, but we will definitely make sure everyone can find a copy of it.
Thank you. All right. Imani, any other questions in the chat?
Yes, we have a few more. This one is from Amanda. What if the PVR notice has not been received in time of sending in the PVR documentation?
So as I mentioned during the presentation, when I went through the required documentation, that is one of the required documents in order for the PVR request to be fulfilled. So if it's not received within that time, the claim will be denied.
This is Raquel again. I think what Amanda's asking is, for the most part, the VRs are able to go into the portal and see once we place the claim in diary, and 9 times out of 10, they are proactive to start pulling their documentation together. I think what Amanda is asking is, what happens if I have all of my documentation, but I still haven't received the letter that's being mailed to me in regards to this? And Amanda, if that's what you're speaking of, then you can just email the VR help desk and just let them know that, hey, I'm ready to send this documentation, but I don't have your notice. Can you email me a copy? And that is something that I can do. And if you're asking something else, Amanda, please put it in the chat. Thanks.
Hi, Katie. And Raquel, it's posted in the chat.
Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome, Peter.
Let's move to raise hands. I believe I do see a raised hand, Catherine.
Okay, great. Thank you, Keitra. Okay, at this time, I'll go ahead and call on. We have Arlene. Arlene, you're unmuted. If you'll click your microphone up top to unmute and just ask your question.
Thank you. This is Arlene from Connecticut. Just for clarity on that 199 form. So the PVR statement that we received from Social Security has the totals, the number, all the information that's itemized on the SSA 199. So I just want to confirm, you still want us to fill out this form as well? It's just an additional form to fill out and submit. I just want to make sure that that's what you're asking us to do, because I haven't done that in the past. So I just want to make sure that that's something I should add to my, you know, like itemized to-do list when I'm doing these.
Arlene, are you talking about the 199?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that should be part of your documentation.
All right. Sorry, I haven't sent that.
You must be putting everything in order then, because it hasn't been rejected, but it is.
Yeah,
it is supposed to be part of the actual documentation.
Okay, I'll add it in. And yeah, I was just following the numbers and the information on the actual statement. So, but I'll start adding this in when I get them. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome.
Thank you, Arlene. And I'll just remind everyone, if you'd like to ask a question, just click the raise hand icon if you're using the Teams application. If you're joining via phone, if you'll press star 5, we'll unmute you. And you'll just need to unmute by pressing star 6. Akitra, we have no more raised hands at this time.
Thank you, Catherine. Imani, are there any more questions in the chat?
Yes, we have one from Jessica. I don't always get the PVR notice prior to the due date of the PVR. Can I still send in PVR documents without it included with the facts?
Hi, Jessica. I think that was also the last question that I answered. If you find that you're ready to send everything back in via the portal, fax in, email the help desk, and just request that notice, and we will get it to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Raquel. Imani, are there any other questions in the chat?
Yeah. Yes, Sarah has a question. If we submitted a PVR by mail but are now finding that we missed information, can we fax an update?
Sarah, it depends on if it was already processed. So if you're submitting documentation and you didn't submit everything and you got denied for it, then the answer would be no. But if you're saying that you submitted something and it's still pending, then yes, you can fax that in.
Thank you, Renee. Imani?
Yes. Molly has a question. Would you like us to include numbers on our proof of payments to correspond with the SSA 199 as your example showed?
Yes, that would be a yes, because that would help us to line up all the documentations following the 199. So if you have your invoice and that has numbers and you have your proof of payment and that has numbers again, which correspond with what you have documented on the SSA 199, that would help us pull it all together. Because as we know, you know, depending on the cost of the claim, there could be, say, 100 pages, and it makes it easier for us and quicker for us to process the claim if you do follow that example. So thank you for that question.
We do have more questions. Sarah has another question. Attaching case notes, is that something, I'm not sure if this was a follow-up question or this was already answered, but attaching case notes, is that something new? I don't seem to remember that piece.
Hi, Sarah. No, it's not new. It's always been part of the procedure for the PVR documentation.
Colleen has a question. So if I had one rejected for timelessness, it can be appealed.
Hi, Colleen. Yes, you can email the issue to the VR help desk, and we will definitely look into it for you.
Imani, are there any other questions?
Yeah, sorry. Give me one second. I'm trying to get to the questions. It's just notifications keep popping up. Sarah, no, that was answered. I believe Carla, this is the last question in the chat. Carla has one. Case notes have not been requested on all PVRs. Are all case notes now required, even if not listed among those documents requested?
On a PVR, it is on the notice that you receive that case notes are on that notice. So if you're submitting them without the case notes and it's getting approved, then not listed on all. Well, all PVRs have the exact same wording, so I'm not sure what you mean by it's not listed on all PVRs. So I'll have to look into that one. I'm not sure about that.
Okay, we all have the a PV.
Sorry. That's okay. All the PBRs have the same standard information and wording. You know, it doesn't ask anything specific for one certain claim. They all should say the exact same thing. And if you find that you received requests for two different PBRs and the wording is different on your requests, please send that to the VR help desk so I can look into that. You might be thinking of a PBR which is completely different from late start of SGA. That is a completely different documentation notice.
Okay, Imani, are there any other questions in chat?
Yes, I believe Donna has a question. You only need case notes if pertaining to the expenses?
No, for the PBR, we've always asked for the case notes. And in actuality, we should be requesting that information as well for late start of SGA. It should be assigned IPE and case notes.
Okay. Thank you, Renee. We're actually going to go ahead and move on to our next topic. We do see that there are additional questions in the chat, which we will have the panelists respond to those questions. We are going to now move into the reconsideration policy. And for that, I will turn it over to Renee Clark.
Thanks, Keetra. Can you please go to the next slide? Thank you. Hello again, everyone. For the past few years, as a pandemic-era accommodation, SSA was not enforcing the filing limits for reconsiderations. On March 1st, however, SSA started enforcing the long-standing 60-day filing restriction for non-earnings-related reconsideration requests from VR agencies for denied initial claims. So if a VR submits a request for reconsideration for an initial claim that was denied for a non-earnings-related reason, the request must be received by SSA within 60 calendar days of the denial decision date. If this non-earnings-related reconsideration request is not received within 60 calendar days, the reconsideration request will be denied due to untimely filing. Also, on March 1st, SSA enacted a courtesy to extend the filing deadline for earnings-related reconsideration requests from 60 days to 365 days. So if SSA denies an initial claim due to insufficient earnings, the VR has 365 calendar days from the date of the initial denial to submit to SSA a request for reconsideration for that claim. If the earnings-related reconsideration request is not received within 365 calendar days, it will be denied due to untimely filing. As always, if a VR agency's claim is denied, but the claim is unique or nuanced in some way, the provider may email us for additional consideration. You may email us at vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. Thank you. I'll pass it along to Sharday now.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Renee. Good afternoon, this is Sade, the VR Help Desk Manager, and I'm going to be going over the VR helpline. Next slide, please. All right, the VR helpline is currently operating, and we did go live as of March the 1st, 2024. The hours of operation is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's Monday through Friday. The phone number is 1-866-949-3687. I do want to note when you call the phone line, please be sure to select option number 4. That is the line for the VR helpline, and that will route you to a VR analyst for assistance. The VR helpline is going to handle the following inquiry types below when you do call into the helpline. The first is payment status to request the status of VR payment submissions, diary status, diary reasons and any additional actions and or requirement documentation, fax documentation, receipt confirmation of fax payment documentation, portal access, assistance with ticket portal access. Ticket portal enrollment requests must be submitted via email. The ticket portal access assistance is only be for VRs who currently do have access to the ticket portal. And portal navigation, this is assistance with ticket portal navigation. Also, portal errors must be submitted via email as well. So if you do require any assistance with the inquiry types listed, please feel free to contact the helpline and the analyst will be happy to assist you. Thank you, and I'm going to hand it over to Keitra.
And you are on mute, Keitra.
Thank you. I thought I unclicked it. All right.
You're welcome.
Now we'll move into our last question and answer session, specifically to ask questions about the reconsideration policy or the VR helpline. So over the phone, if you're calling, you want to raise your hand by dialing *5 and you'll be unmuted. Then you want to press *6 to unmute yourself. If joining via Teams, you can enter your questions into the chat or you can raise your hand and your mic will be unmuted at that time to answer your question. Again, please do state your first name, the name of your VR agency, and then ask your question. So, Catherine, do we have any raised hands at this time?
Hi, Keitra. No, we do not at this time.
Thank you. Imani, are there any questions in the chat in reference to reconsideration policy or the VR helpline?
Yes, we do have one question from Amanda. You only get one reconsideration for all denials based on insufficient SGA earnings, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
That is all the questions that we have in the chat.
All right.
Okay. I have a raised hand, Keitra.
Oh, yes. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Eric. You are unmuted if you just click your microphone and go ahead.
Yep. Thank you. Yeah. And that one reconsideration has to be within 365 days, correct?
Hi, Eric. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So I have a question about how this is going to work with situations where, say, an individual, you know, we've submitted a claim that was determined that there were not 9 months of SGA. That person comes back to us. They get services for years and, you know, go to school or something, and then they go and achieve SGA. That's going to obviously be greater than 365 days, but we would still want to file a claim on that initial claim as well. I mean, initial VR period as well as any follow-up VR period, because it's the combination of those services over time that would have contributed to SGA, you know, down the road. So I was just wondering if you'd considered anything in regards to those kind of scenarios that are, it's not just that they took another year to get the SGA or something. They were back in VR, and so there's another VR period of service. I mean, what would that be considered at all in these situations?
Hi, Eric. It's Renee. If you have a situation like that, please do write into the help desk, and we will give you additional consideration.
Okay. Great.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. I'll just go ahead and remind everyone, if you like to ask a question, just click the raise hand icon at the top of your screen. Or if you're on the phone, just click *5 and we'll unmute you, and then you can press *6 to unmute yourself. And Keitra, we have no more raised hands at this time.
Okay. Imani, I believe we may have a few more questions in the chat.
Yes, we have a couple more. The first one is from Nina. For reconsiderations, what if we believe the denial is incorrect?
Hi, it's Renee. If you believe the denial is incorrect, please write into the help desk and we will give you additional consideration.
Thank you, Renee. Imani, our next question?
Yes, the last question in the chat. Please forgive me if I mispronounce your name. Clinitra. It is concerning the recons from Florida VR. what about the recons that we previously was informed by SSA to hold? Will we get an opportunity to send those in?
Hi, it's Renee. Please do send us an email with your concerns and your specific the specific information regarding those claims, and we'll get back to you. Again, it's vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov.
And this is Raquel, just to piggyback, in regards to Nina's question, if you think you were denied incorrectly, when you submit the information to the VR help desk, just make sure you have support based on why you think you should have been paid for that claim, so we can actually take the time to review it and follow up with you. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Imani, are there any other questions in the chat?
At this time, no, we don't have any more questions. Thank you, Keetra.
Thank you. I believe we have a raised hand, Catherine.
We do. Hi, Eric. Your mic is active if you want to unmute and ask your question.
Thank you. It's not related to this topic, but it was a topic I sent to Raquel, and she asked that I just go ahead and bring it up. I just wanted to make sure it's okay to move on to another topic.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Okay. This one's, I believe for Katie Strivinger. So this is a, situation. I was actually just, it's a very specific portal code on the ticket assignment response files. It's VA06 and the narrative reads most recent ticket already terminated. When, if we're submitting, you know, a batch process, as probably most states are doing with the ticket, we're getting a lot of responses at any given time. I was just wondering if there's any chance in that ticket response file for the VA06 where it has that code to include the ticket termination date or the ticket on assignment date, whatever is the more appropriate of those two, with the batch. That way we can process that into our case management system as a batch process versus having to go through each of those manually, which is kind of what we're having to do right now. Because there's other codes that have various denials or various reasons, and it gives a date. And so it would just be really helpful for the states if we could have that ticket termination date so we could import that into our case management system, basically to end cap the, what was going on with that person's ticket. Otherwise, it's very challenging for us to manually go back, try to find those codes, go to our case management, unassign it, try to align it with the ticket portal. I'm just wondering if there's any chance that that could be something down the road to be implemented.
We definitely took your, you know, request, and, you know, anytime, there is, you know, we're on a call and there's a request to change something, fix something, add something, we definitely take it back and add it to our wish list. I definitely have that noted, that request. I can't promise you when we're going to be able to add it, but I've definitely noted it.
Thank you, Eric. Turn it back over to you, Keetra.
Okay. Imani, did we have any additional questions in the chat? I believe I may have just saw one come in.
Okay. Yep, we do. From Sarah. Quick question. At the portal, what should be included? In the portal, excuse me, what should be included? The SVR choice in the fax list.
And this is Katie. I'm not really sure what that question means specifically. So if you want to email the help desk, we can get back to you. I'm just not sure what that question is referring to.
If you'd like to raise your hand, we can unmute and you can ask your question. Okay. All right, Sarah, your audio is active. If you'd like to go ahead and just unmute and ask your question. Just click the microphone up top. It usually takes maybe a second to activate. Okay. While we work with Sarah to get her active, I'll turn it back over to you, Keetra.
All right. Imani, are there any additional questions in the chat? I don't believe so at this time.
No, there's no more.
Okay. Again, if you would like to ask any questions in the chat, please do. Or if you're on the phone, dial *5 and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you'll dial *6. And if you'd like to raise your hand in the MS Teams chat, you can do that as well, and we'll unmute you for you to ask your question. Catherine, do we have any raised hands at this time?
Yes, we did. And I think it may just be Sarah. Just one moment, please. It is. Sarah, your mic's active. If you want to just click the microphone next to the share button at the top right of your screen, and that will unmute you, and you can provide the information regarding the question. Okay. That was it, Keitra. No more raised hands.
All right. And no other questions in the... Oh, do we have some questions in the chat, Imani? We may have had a few just come in.
Hi, yes, we have one from Deanna. I believe she asked this previously. It seems like there's an increase in requests for PVRs. Is that accurate?
Hi, this is Renee. Yes, we noticed that every VR was not receiving PVR requests, and some VRs were not getting PVR requests that represented an adequate sample compared to the amount of claims that they submit. So we have made adjustments there to increase our program integrity efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Renee. The next question is from Anita. Has there been any discussion at SSA about moving towards being paperless?
Hi, it's Renee. Katie, please jump in if you'd like. We are moving towards being paperless. I think we sort of consider ourselves paperless, even though we're asking you to fax information in. Since you're not mailing it, we consider it paperless in that respect. But yes, the agency is moving towards decreasing the amount of paper that we request and provide to providers.
Thank you, Renee. That's all the questions that's in the chat.
All right, Catherine, do we have any hands raised at this time? Oh, you're on mute, Catherine. I don't believe there are any raised hands.
There are no raised hands. I was just going to respond to Sarah. You know, She would just go ahead and email that to the vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
Any questions come into the chat, Imani?
Yes, we have one from Wynn. Is this a PVR request or just an SSA 199 request? She highlighted request information for direct other cost comment, request information for direct/other costs.
Hi, Wynn. This is Raquel. That is a 199 request, and you received that when we see that some of your direct costs are outside of the net payment period. So at that point, we need an actual breakdown of the actual direct costs with the date so we know which ones can be paid and which ones get denied. So yeah, yes, you're correct. It is completely different from a PVR.
Thank you, Raquel. We have another question from Roberta. She wants to know if she's able to ask a question outside of the topic that we're on at this time.
Oh, sure, of course.
And I believe Roberta has raised her hand. Catherine?
She sure has, yes. Hi, Roberta. Your mic is active. Just click your microphone up top and ask your question.
Hi. Hi, I am Roberta. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay, I'm Roberta from Indiana, and I am relatively new to Ticket to Work. Not new to VR, but relatively new to Ticket to Work. And I just have a question with regard to when the state is operating as both a VREM, like for phase one, and the cost reimbursement, who can we go to ask questions about things? I've done a lot of research, but I have a question about a nuanced difference between the two, and just sort of wondering, who are we supposed to go to? I have asked, you know, the VR help desk, and I did get some help, but then I had a question. They sent me to an EN. I asked the EN program people, and they said that's not what we do. And so I'm just sort of wondering.
Roberta, this is Raquel. Circle back with the VR help desk, and I will. And actually, if you could just forward what responses you received so I can take a look at it and figure out who should be answering your questions.
Okay, that's what I did. Okay, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, it should be between the VR help desk and the EN services. It just depends on what the question is. So if you could just forward it back, I'll look at it and follow up with you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Roberta. Then we'll raise hands, Peter. I'm sorry. Imani?
Yes, we do have a question in the chat from Colleen. When we fax in information for PVRs, can you receive color or only black and white?
From my understanding, either will come through. You just want to make sure, again, that it's legible on your end. So if you have, say, a copy of a copy, if that is legible, when we receive it through fax, it should be legible on our end. If not, we will reach out to you to let you know that, you know, it came through illegibly, if you could try to send a clearer copy.
Thank you, Keacher. That's all the questions that we have in the chat at this time.
There are no questions. There are no raised hands, Keitra.
Okay. So next, let's move on to the next slide. This is just talking about today's call. All the documentation from the call will be again posted on the Your Ticket to Work website in the next few weeks, and that will be under the Events Archive section. Those documents would include the transcript, the PowerPoint that we reviewed today, the recap, as well as the audio for today's call. Next, to our next All VR call date. The next call will be on Tuesday, July 9th at from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that will be via Teams as well, but there is an option for dial-in. If you have any training suggestions that you would like to be presented on our next All VR call, you can send those suggestions to the vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. We ask that you please send those suggestions by Friday, May 25th, in order for us to compile those questions or that training information and be ready to present on our next July 9th call. I believe there are no other questions, no other hands raised. So thank you all for your participation in today's All VR call. This concludes our call for today. Take care and have a great rest of your day.